staying with the federal budget now and turning to the opposition. We're playing a bit of musical chairs in the studio. Andrew Bragg has just stepped in. Andrew Bragg is the Shadow Minister for Housing, Homelessness and also Shadow Minister for Environment. Andrew Bragg, welcome back.
Sally, how are you?
Very well, thank you. The government has proposed tax reforms in the budget to improve generational equity in its view. Does the Coalition agree there's an issue of intergenerational inequality in Australia when it comes to housing?
Well, I think the inequality that you're going to see is that younger generations won't be able to use the same wealth-building opportunities that were available to older generations, including the Prime Minister himself.
If they go for new homes, they will.
But, I mean, the idea is that we need to have lower taxes. I mean, we have a repressive pay-as-you-go system. We have almost the highest pay-as-you-go system in the world for income earners, and now we have the highest capital gains tax system in the world. So, like, it's getting harder and harder for younger people. Everywhere you look, there are new taxes.
The opposition's already been clear it won't be supporting changes to negative gearing and the gains tax discount. What's your message to younger Australians who feel locked out of the housing market?
Well, this is a supply side problem, and so we want to get building houses. We also think that lower taxes will help build more houses, I should say. And so that's really our message. I mean, ultimately, if you want to help younger people, you need to create opportunities for them. So a younger person who wants to invest in a share or an ETF or wants to invest in crypto or wants to invest in a house, I mean, none of these things now are tax advantage. I mean, you're looking at a 30% minimum tax.
I'm speaking with the Shadow Minister for Housing and Homelessness, Andrew Bragg, on Radio National Breakfast. Opposition Leader Angus Taylor will deliver his budget reply speech tonight. He's expected to unveil a plan to cut migration by linking net overseas migration to the pace of home building. How would this work?
Well, I've been asking for many years in Senate estimates, including Decatur Gallagher, why doesn't the government model the impact of allowing 1.4 million people into the country but only building 600,000 houses?
And the government, some of those are Australians returning.
Well, that's right. But, I mean, ultimately, it's still a large number of people coming into the country as migrants. And her answer has always been,
well, they're not all migrants.
But her answer has always been, well, we're not going to do that piece of modelling. I mean, we think that if you have more people in the country, you should be looking to have more homes. Like, it's pretty simple. So we think it's a reasonable nexus to look at, and it'll be part of our policy making.
So how would that actually work?
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple. If you don't make the completions that are required to house Australians, then you'd look to cap certain visa classes.
So you base it off the housing numbers and then determine what the forward migration number will be? Is that what you meant?
The first thing you do is you'd actually do some basic modelling to work out how many houses you actually need to house the Australian population, which is something that the government haven't bothered to do. And then you'd have all the information, and then you can look at, well, how many houses do we need? And if we don't get the houses we need, then we'd look to cap certain visa classes. As part of that, we also want to make sure we bring in the workers we need to actually build houses. Mm. Because even though we've had a large migration program, we haven't got the tradies we need. So, for example, in home building, we need 80,000 more tradies. Last year, we only got 4,000 of those on tradie visas.
And what's the assumption underlying this in terms of how many people per home? Will it be the equivalent of one person per house built?
No, I mean, that's all the modelling that we need to do. I mean, the fact that that modelling hasn't been done by the Treasury, I think, is really a disgrace. I think that most Australians would say, well, if your population is growing by up to 2 million people and you're only building 600,000 houses, then that's going to be a problem. So we're going to do that modelling, and that'll be part of our policy going forward.
But will it be one for one, or the household now, I think, is 2.6?
As I said, we'll do that modelling.
Migrants often meet demand in industries with skill shortages, as you were mentioning. How will the coalition cut migration but increase the workforce that is needed?
Well, you can recalibrate the overall mix of people coming in through the different visa classes. That's something that we'll be doing more work on over the next few months. But, I mean, this is not about blaming migrants. This is about blaming the government for mismanaging these things.
Was this policy made in consultation with business groups?
Well, we always consult widely, and ultimately I think it's been pretty clear that this is something that needs to be done.
We also want to restore
confidence in our migration system, that we've actually got control of it as a country. I mean, the housing system is out of control. The government have spent $80 billion to build fewer houses. I mean, the supply crunch here is really acute. I mean, who could believe that you could spend $80 billion of taxpayer funds to build 30,000 fewer houses a year?
So just going back to the question, was consultation undertaken with business groups on this particular policy idea?
Well, of course, there's always consultation. We're always engaging widely.
Finally, last time you were on the program, you said the coalition should revive something on the scale of fight back. Are you optimistic that Angus Taylor will deliver something on that scale tonight?
Well, I'm hopeful that'll be a start tonight. But, I mean, we need to do a lot of work. I think we need to be looking very clearly at how we can relieve the pay-as-you-go tax system. We need to be creating incentives for people to invest. As I said, it's a pretty hard place to live and work when taxes are so high. So we've got to do a lot of heavy lifting there. And I think we need a big, bold platform, the biggest we've had in 30 years.
How much of a test is this tonight for Angus Taylor? It doesn't feel like it, but the Farrah by-election was only on the weekend. It was a bruising experience. How important is it to get it right tonight?
Look, he's been in the job for 3 months. I'm sure he'll do a good job tonight. That'll be a start, but I mean, I don't expect anyone would assume that all our policies will be announced tonight. But my point is that we need to be very bold and ambitious here. I think that the budget is completely out of control. The tax system is completely broken. I mean, we need to see more than just a few fiddles. I think we need to be looking again at the IR system. I think we need to be looking at whether the super thing is working. I think there's some really big things in our economy that are making the overall system very sick. And if we don't address these things now, then when would we ever address them, given where we are in the overall position right now?
Andrew Bragg, good to have you back in the studio this morning. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ellie.